Well, good morning, everyone. How are we doing?
Great.
You guys excited to be here? Who's even more excited for the picnic in the park? This guy. Colossians chapter 3. I'm also really excited about the message this morning. Kind of have a pretty clear path where I want to go, and I don't always. But I'm interested to see where it's going to end up. I'll tell you where the message came from here after we read the opening section here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed," which amounts to idolatry. "For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. And do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all." Let's pray. Dear Lord God, so grateful we call on your name, Lord. You are the glorious one. From you has come all things, and not a thing has come into being that has come into being apart from you. Lord God, thank you for what you have blessed us with. Thank you for calling us through the gospel. Thank you for putting us into the work of service. So grateful for the opportunity to encourage through the word, through fellowship, through the lifting up of good news, and for the opportunity to continue to fellowship more today in the park. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your church. Just thank you for the meditations. They were so great today. Just a reminder of the connection between the body and the Lord's Supper. We are in this together, but individually members of it. How great it is that we get to come together and form the body and bride of Christ. And it's in your name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Consider the members of your earthly body dead to all of that stuff that's in your past. So stop doing it. Okay? It's because of these things, he says, that God's judgment is coming on those who practice these things. In verse 8, or in verse 7, he's like, this is how you once walked. This is how you used to live. And in verse 8, he says, "Now put aside anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the self with its evil practices, and put on the new self." The Christian is the only person on the earth that can put on the new self. The majority of the world, I mean, you can see how the message of the gospel appeals to the world. You mean all of my mistakes and regrets can be washed away when I'm immersed in water in Jesus' name for the remission of those sins to receive the Holy Spirit? I mean, God designed this message for men, amen? This is an appeal. You mean I can have my past just forgiven and that burden on the conscience lifted and removed? And so it is the Christian who has been born again through water who can put on the new self. The Christian is the only person who has the new self. The old man's dead and gone, buried in the waters of immersion, yes? And he says, that guy's dead, so stop doing the stuff that he did. And put on the new self. Well, who's the new self? You know, Galatians, he says, those of you who have been immersed into Christ Jesus through faith, he says, you've put on Christ. Well, that's the new self. Literally putting on Jesus. He says, put on the new self. And if we're not sure who the new self is, he says in verse 10 that we are being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So when I see image, I usually think of picture, right? So he says, put on the new self who's being renewed according to the picture of the one who made him. So when you're putting on the new self and you're unsure, what does that mean? What does that look like? I've been clothed with Christ. I'm putting on the new self. He says, it looks like God. It's in accordance with the picture of the one who created him. Who made the new man, brethren? Jesus Christ. Right? He's the one that resurrected you from that watery grave when you obeyed the gospel. So he says, put on the new self, which is in the picture of the one who made him in the first place, clothed with Christ. So, you know, the challenge for the Christian then is to continually, through faith, lay aside the preconceived notions or even the past notions and picture of who they once were, and to move forward and to see Jesus in glory and put that image into their brain tank, and to put that image on. Okay, and then through that comes the transformation process that's mentioned in Romans. You get to renew your mind, and then the Holy Spirit's the one who transforms you. Titus confirms this. He says he saved you, right, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. See, it's the Holy Spirit that renews. It's the Holy Spirit that gets in there and tinkers and moves and changes things. We bring faith. We bring the spiritual mindset. We bring a mindset on things above, which is the context here. A mindset on things above. Okay? So we're putting on the new self. We are putting on the image of whom? Christ. What I wanted to show us today is it's possible. Every single person in this room, through faith, can lay aside the old man if he's been baptized into Christ, and he can put on Jesus Christ. Everyone can do it. We all have the potential, yes? You guys know I like my Geico commercial with Pinocchio. It says, did you know you could save 15% or more on your car insurance? And he says, no, but did you know that Pinocchio wasn't a really good motivational speaker? And then it cuts to this clip of Pinocchio addressing a group of this size. And he says, I look around this room and all I see is potential. Whoop. Pinocchio didn't even believe what he was selling. And it's not that he didn't believe that the vacuum cleaner 1000 was the best vacuum cleaner ever invented. It's that he doesn't actually believe you've got the potential. Whoop. But every person in this room has the potential to be like Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay. Now, pretty important that you individually wrap your mind around that, because if you don't set your mind on it, you will never do it. Yes? Why did Mom tell me from the time I was 6 years old that I could be in the NBA? 5'8", can't jump, kind of slow. Because the surest way to not go is to tell yourself you can't. Okay, so you guys get it. Wow, I'm preaching the new creation. You ever heard this message before? Here's what I want you to think about, though. First and foremost, you have to wrap your mind around that picture for yourself, or you will never do it. Step two, you've got to wrap your mind around that picture for everyone else. This message comes from something Godwin said last week, and it hit me, and I've had it in my head for a week. Do you guys remember when he was referencing Joseph's betrayal at the hands of his brothers? Godwin said, this is why it happened. Do you remember what he said? Okay. He said, there was no love. There was no love there. Love wouldn't have done that, right? It wouldn't have. He said, there's no love there. And he used that example a couple times when he was going through the Old Testament before he, you know, got into the point that he was trying to make. Was God able to see what would become of Joseph? Were his brothers able to see? Could they see? You bet. He tried to tell them, didn't he? God has given me a dream. And in that dream, your sheaves bow down to my sheaf. Right? Did God see Joseph's potential? Did God see what would become of Joseph? Yes. Did his brothers? No. Could they? Well, of course they could. He literally told them to their face, this is God's plan for us. This is the nature of our relationship and what I will become. You will bow down to me. I will be in a position of power and influence. And they rejected that message, didn't they? Maybe it's not fair. Maybe it's whatever. But it's the result of a lack of love, right? Hey, does every person here in this room have the potential to be like Christ? Can every single one of you put on your Jesus suit and put on the new self, which is in the same picture as God himself? Can we see that in one another? That's the key. Now, you'll notice this in life. We struggle a lot to see that in others because we haven't fully developed the picture in our own life. Okay? So that's why I said you have to really, really, as you continue to grow in faith, really understand. When Jared says, what does live your life as a spiritual sacrifice mean? You have an answer to that question. You've thought about it. You know. And you handled it perfectly. The thought that jumped into my mind, bro, was patient when wronged. How you live your life is a living sacrifice. He's right. It's not reading your Bible 23 hours a day in a cabin or in a camper out in the woods and sleeping for 1 hour. That would be quite the devotion, though, wouldn't it? But that's not what the scripture's talking about. It's as simple as patient when wronged. The old self gets even, gets defensive, right? Gets irritable. You put on the new self. What is the new self? The new self is God. Well, what would Jesus do? He'd be patient when wronged, wouldn't he? See, we can struggle to see Jesus in others if we haven't fully developed the picture of Jesus in our own life. It can be a struggle, right? Man, kids are so awesome. And there's just so many different stages. And there's always people looking at younger parents and remembering that stage. But there's always a stage above those parents, you know. And then some of us are grandparents. Some of us are great-grandparents, right? We've seen and heard and done a lot. And right now, I'm finally in that stage with Ethan at 5 years old where, like, I can start to really see myself in him. And I do a lot of apologizing. I'm like, is that what I sound like? Like, oh. Well, you ever see yourself in your kids? You fight with me on nature and nurture later. You know, a lot of those markers are genetic. Okay? Just so you know, they've proven that. Now, there's certainly a nurture side to this thing. Absolutely. But the majority of your personality metrics are genetic. That's why you're a lot like your dad. Okay? You literally got it from him. Okay? But, you know, it's really interesting because do you see that connection between seeing something in yourself when you see it in others? You guys see that? Well, it's similarly like that, but flipped. How are you going to see someone else in the image of Jesus Christ if you haven't seen yourself in that image? Right? So there's a hurdle there. Okay? You go to Romans chapter 5. Christianity involves loving people and loving who they will become. They have the potential to be like Christ today, amen? Do they always act like it? Maybe not. Maybe these are people in your own home, you know. And when you're stuck in these battles where people are being irritable and defensive and unagreeable and rude, confrontational, argumentative, selfish, it's easy to lose sight of the person they will become. That's what happened to Joseph. He just finally broke the final straw, and his brothers said enough. There was no love there. They didn't see who he would become. They just saw the irritable brother who bothers them every day because God, you know, well, because Dad loves them more than themselves. Christianity really is loving the person that they will become. Think about it. We do it with kids all the time, right? You got a, you got a defiant, argumentative, disrespectful 16-year-old. And on top of it, they're disobedient. So you know what you do? You kick them out of the house and you cut them out. Oh. Well, why not? Why do you hang in there, stay up till 2 in the morning, hopefully not arguing, but sometimes it can become a fight. You're trying to reason with them, explain to them, and they can't see it because they don't have wisdom. They haven't lived life long enough, right? Why don't you just throw in the towel and give up? Because you know who they're going to become. It doesn't matter. I mean, if it's kids in the church or your guys' kids or the kids everywhere. It's like kids do a lot of more things wrong than they do right sometimes. You don't just throw in the towel because they're maturing, they're growing, they're learning. And it's your responsibility to teach them, yes? And you understand who they're going to become. Have you ever looked at a kid at like 13, 14 years old and been like, I don't know how this one ends? You know, and then by the time 23, 24 rolls around 30 and they got a family and they're successful and confident and loving and a you know, and then you go, oh yeah, I remember you when you were young. Oh man, oh, you used to do this thing all the time, man. It was so. What do you see? So do we have young Christians in the church who are like babies? Do we have spiritual teenagers in the church who are young Christians who think they know everything? And so when they're wronging you because they're stubborn, disobedient, disrespectful teenage Christians, you just write them off. I'm done with them. You see, the challenge is to see them for who they are. And at least in the moment, for who they can be, that image that they can put on, the image of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's such a great reminder, isn't it? Just thinking all of this when Godwin was preaching. God saw who Joseph would become, and his brothers didn't. We have got to be able to see who each one of us can become, because if we don't, we will grow weary. We will grow weary. Here's a pretty good example of Jesus, Romans chapter 5, verse 6. While we were helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. He calls you ungodly. If you're an accountable age and a Christian, you were helpless and ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, verse 7, though perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. See, love. It's love. There was no love, Godwin says. No willingness to sacrifice. No willingness to be patient when wronged. With his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did Jesus see who you would become? And he's asking you to turn around and see that in one another. He did it before and best for all of us. He saw who we could become. We are helpless, ungodly, and sinners. And Jesus still took our punishment, bore it on his shoulders because he knew who we could become with his righteousness. That's a powerful message, brethren. Ephesians chapter 2. Nope, chapter 5. It's verse 2. Let's start in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. We're supposed to walk in love. And we're told to walk in love because Jesus loved us. And we get that. Because he offered himself for us. He saw what we would become. And the Bible calls that love. So when we say we love one another, it means that we're willing to sacrifice for one another. It means we're willing to forbear with one another. Look, there's going to be things that don't always go right. But it's about loving enough to stick it out to the end, to having the difficult conversations, to being willing to humble ourselves. Look, you could have all the right intentions in the world and humble yourself and try to talk to somebody, and if they're just being stubborn and mean, you're not going to get anywhere. I get that. I get that. That could happen, right? But you don't write people off. Because as soon as you write them off, now you're saying against God that they cannot change or grow. It's just not true. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Brethren, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old things are gone. Yes, the old things rear their heads sometimes. But new things have come. Turn on over to Ephesians. Chapter 4. In verse 20, he says, you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So that's your job. You renew your mind, right? And put on the new self. These letters were written at the same time. So, you see why it sounds so much like Colossians? Lay aside the old guy, put on the new self, right? According to the image of the one who created him. Look how he says this in the letter to the Ephesians. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. That new self that you're putting on, it's in the likeness of who? God. That's what it looks like. God. Do you remember when they tried to trap Jesus and they said, should we pay taxes to Caesar? And he says, hand me a denarius. And so, bing. And he goes, hey, whose picture is that on there? Right? They said, well, it's Caesar's. Well, then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Right? He says, whose likeness and inscription is on this, is what Jesus says, right? And they said, oh, it's Caesar's. Likeness means whose it look like. What does it look like? That's what likeness means. Put on the new self, Ephesians 4. In verse 24, which is in the likeness of God. Every Christian in this room can put on Jesus Christ. We got to start by putting on Jesus Christ ourselves. All of these passages we read are, even if we had kept reading in Colossians and in Romans and even on in Ephesians in chapter 5, everything's followed by your conduct in the Lord. So until we get this picture right in our own lives, our lives will not match Jesus' lives. But it's so that's kind of whole, like, okay, if you're like trying to correct everybody else and right the wrongs and police everybody else, then you got to make sure that there's no speck in your own eye, right? Okay. But if you don't have a speck in your eye, the teaching is then, you know, it would help to remove the log in others. If you actually read the context there, the context isn't you don't ever like correct someone if they're wrong. You just have to make sure that you don't have anything in your eye first. Is actually the teaching, okay? So you got to make sure that you've put on Christ in your own life, okay? But we also equally have to make sure that we're seeing Christ in everyone else's life and seeing what they will become. And if we'll look at one another from that perspective, then we will forbear and we will work together and we will grow and we will unite perfectly in love. I just want to close in Luke chapter 19. One more way to look at this. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We've got a pretty good thing going here, don't we? Salvation through the name of Jesus Christ and eternal redemption of the soul is not something that we want to keep for ourselves, right? And as best as you can figure out how, it's worth sharing. Amen? Jesus came to save the lost. We want to be like Jesus, yes? Yes. We want to be like Jesus, yes? Yeah. Well, we want to care about those who are perishing as well. And so because of our love for the lost, we're willing to share Scripture with them, to sacrifice for them, to forbear with them. Man, we put up with a lot at the hands of the world. Do we not? Do you know the allegory from Genesis recorded in Galatians chapter 4 prophesied that? That he who was born according to the bondwoman would persecute him who was born according to the free woman? So it is today. Does the church put up with a lot at the hands of the world? Why do you do it? Why don't we just all buy campers and park our campers 40 miles northeast out of town and have assembly and just keep the world out? Oh, because we're the light of the world and we're supposed to share the good news of this. What I'm reminding you of is you do that because Jesus loved that which was lost and he went to go seek it because of that love. Romans said he died for the world because he loved them, yes? So you are willing to see what the lost can become in order to forbear with them. Have you ever, you know, had someone over for dinner to encourage them or a conversation or even Bible study with somebody? Have you ever had to forbear with them? Maybe just in the language that they use? Yeah? Well, they think worldly, right? But you forbear it. Why? Because you know what they can become. We ought to do that for one another. Amen? Let's stand. We're willing to do it for the lost. Are we willing to do it also with those who are found? Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you so much for your word, a great opportunity and your wisdom. We are a privileged people. It is amazing that we are indwelt with your Spirit, Lord. Guard that which has been entrusted to us. It's such a wonderful thing. Lord, just thankful for your word and for the reminders today and for the fellowship and for the Lord's Supper. You know, I love that in both those sections in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, they both mention that even though we're all a part of one body, we are still individually members of it. You're not trying to rob us from our individual part. We're not just a robot with machines pre-programmed for a role. We are individuals. So we get to come together and knit together in the bond and unity of love. And if we do that right, then this thing shines bright because your will is being proclaimed to the whole world. And hopefully that light can save those who are lost. So thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for the opportunity to meet again tonight for some fellowship over some games and food at the park. Helping us really remind us what the church really is. It's people, it's not a building, and it's about sharing that with one another. Thank you for these opportunities, Lord. We praise you and thank you, and we pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen.